Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 20th. When St. Paul talks about baptism being buried with Jesus, being crucified with him, being raised with him, are these just figures of speech? Is he making a comparison and not really saying anything about what baptism really does? It's kind of like you were crucified. It's like you were buried. It's like you were raised. But it's only like those things. It isn't those things themselves. What is St. Paul saying when he connects baptism to the death and resurrection of Jesus? Joining us to answer that question, Pastor Mark Buto. He's pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DeKoyne, Illinois, and author of an article in a recent Higher Things magazine titled Dying and Rising from Above. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
Pretty good. You write about kind of the inevitability of death, how we can deal with it, put it off, but we can't stop it. You say we live in a world surrounded by death, but you write, we are vaccinated against it. What do you mean by that?
Well, Paul says in Romans that when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death, so that just as he rose from the dead, we will walk in newness of life. And Paul's making the connection there that when we are baptized because of the promise that God attaches to that water, because that water is sanctified by God, made holy, and given its power through his word, the word that has the power to deliver what Jesus did at the cross, namely to overcome our sin and our death. I use the illustration of vaccination in the sense that because we're baptized, because we've been given the death of Jesus, we've also been given his life. So that when death actually comes for us, although we won't get out of it, short of our Lord returning, I suppose, before we actually physically die, that means, though, that our physical death is really not the end, because when our Lord returns, he will raise us from the dead and we will have everlasting life. So the promise of our being raised from the dead, like we say in the Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting, that promise is made to us in baptism. By giving us Jesus' death, it prepares us for our own death, and in fact, it gives us the victory over that death even before it happens.
So it isn't like a vaccination. It really is a vaccination. I mean, we actually, at least I'm no doctor, but I understand a vaccination means they give you a little bit of the disease, and then your body is able to fight off the disease when you encounter it in full force. It sounds as though what you're saying is baptism is, it's not just like, it is a vaccination against death because we get Jesus' death.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's not a perfect analogy in the sense that, you know, even though we're vaccinated, as it were, in baptism, we still actually do die. We get, you know, our life, our physical life ends, our bodies, our soul leaves our body, and, you know, we're buried for a time until our Lord comes back. However, the point of comparison is that by putting his death into us, he is also giving us his life by putting himself into us, really. By having the one who died and then rose, then we have the promise that when we die, we will rise as well. And so death, rather than being simply the punishment and the curse and the inevitable result of sin, now has been conquered, transformed, so that by our death, then we go to everlasting life, which really begins already in our baptism. But by giving us his death and his resurrection via baptism, that's the guarantee of our own resurrection from the dead, our own triumph over death.
Is there something of an obstacle in our way talking this way nowadays? When St. Paul wrote those words, death was hard to deny. We spoke a little bit earlier about medicine. It didn't really exist. If you got sick, you were a goner for the most part. So he can talk about death this way. But we live in a culture, as you well know, that hides death and denies it in many and various ways.
Yeah, in some senses, it's maybe a little harder for us to grasp simply because we're really good at not thinking about death, and we're really good at, hoping that when we get sick, we just, pop some antibiotics or something and we'll be okay. But there's really nobody who hasn't faced death in some form or another, whether it's simply a loved one who's gotten old and sick and died, or someone who's struggled with a nasty disease, or someone who's, died in some sort of horrible accident or tragedy or something like that. We like to pretend, and maybe we don't like to talk about it, but we really are surrounded by death just as much as Paul was in his day, as much as the world has ever been in any age. And part of what our culture does is to sort of live for the moment and do whatever it can to, enjoy life, because, once you hit death, that's it. For the Christian, death isn't something to be feared. Jesus has taken it down. He's overcome it. He's beaten it. And so we recognize that even though, we're not sort of just living just for the next life, but we do realize there is a next life. There is the life of the world to come, in which we have everlasting life with our Lord. And so we don't want to have the approach that we never want to talk about death. As Christians, we sort of face it boldly and say, yeah, we're going to die. You might die when you walk out your door the next day, or you might die in, 50, 100 years or whatever from now. But you are going to die. And so we face that as those who have a Redeemer who has gone through death, who's risen from the dead, and who's got it covered.
Can we say in some sense we already have died?
Well, and that's the point of sort of the vaccination analogy, if you will. We've already got the death in us by sin, but now we've got the death of Jesus, which overcomes our sin. I don't know, maybe his death is like an antibody to the death that comes by sin or something like that. I suppose we could try and push the biological metaphors until they fall apart. But when Paul says that we have been buried with Christ, again, that's not just sort of a picture. It is a reality that our old Adam has been crucified, as if we were nailed to the cross, even though we weren't physically there. And as if we, walked out of that empty tomb on Easter with Jesus, and just as we will, in fact, walk out of our graves or climb out of our graves or however it's going to look on the last day when our Lord calls us forth from the dead. And so we have died. There's a physical death in which our body stops working and then we're dead. But there's this putting to death of sin and the old Adam, our sinful nature, that goes on in baptism. That's what the catechism directs us to, daily as we make the sign of the cross and put to death the old Adam by contrition and repentance. And the new man rises by the power of the Spirit working in our lives to live. So every day, in fact, we haven't just died already. We kind of die every day as we live in our baptism.
You mentioned before that the culture does a good job of kind of denying death or living for the moment, saying, well, we're going to die, but we're not going to worry about that right now. It's also a death-obsessed culture in a lot of ways, not only in its self-destructiveness, but to what degree does that kind of open the way for us to talk like St. Paul about what God does in and through baptism?
Well, I think, if you sort of sit down and have a heart-to-heart with your friends over serious topics or whatever, you kind of got to face the fact that, we're going to die. And, if we're all honest with ourselves, we don't like to think about it. And when we do, it's sort of disturbing. Nobody really wants to think about the fact that their life is going to end. I suppose the older you get, the more that's kind of on your mind. But that's our point of contact with the world. Oftentimes I think we sort of think as Christians, the way we have to sort of approach people, say, well, we're all sinful and, we all need to repent. And the world's kind of like, well, we don't really call that sin and we don't really care. And so Christianity doesn't really have anything for us. But the real point of contact is the wages of sin, which is death. I don't care who you are and I don't care what you believe, you're going to die. And, it may be, slow and painful. It might be quick and sudden. It might be, peaceful in your sleep, but it's going to happen. And unless you're just completely fooling yourself, you don't really want to die. I mean, you want to live. And our Lord has answered that question by his own death and his resurrection. So I guess this is the point of contact to talk about and say, look, I mean, this is what happens. Christians are practicing for death, and we're sort of facing it boldly. I mean, we don't sort of live morbid lives where we try to be obsessed with death all the time. We just say, look, it's a fact of life. You're going to die. But, you know, it's also, that's you know, it's not the end. We know the sun's going to set, and it's going to be dark, and then it's going to rise in the morning. Christians kind of look at death the same way. Yeah, we're going to die, fall asleep in Jesus. Then he comes back and raises us from the dead, and we have life everlasting. So in one sense, what is a very big deal in Jesus is not really a big deal at all. Of course, the devil plays upon our fears and all that sort of thing to get us to fear death. But our Lord's conquered him, so we just sort of look at it and say, yeah, death, whatever.
Is part of the task, we got about a minute here before our break, it's part of the task of the Christian church, of Christian pastors, to teach people not only this about baptism and death, but to prepare, you said, to prepare them for death?
Absolutely. I guess you, as a preacher, preach on, okay, now remember you're going to die. So here's, 10 steps for getting ready for death. You know, step one, make a will. Step two, make sure you got insurance on yourself, all that sort of thing. But by preparing for death, we simply mean that when death comes and it brings with it its terrors of, I haven't lived a good life. There's things I did I regret. I'm going to stand before the Lord. The Christian faith prepares us by saying, listen, you got a guy who's already gone through this. And he walks with you through your own. He's there with you to speak to you as he speaks to the thief. To say, and he says, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Mark Buto is our guest. We're talking about baptism and the death and resurrection of Jesus. Be right back.
Down yonder, Gabriel, put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Jesus, my shepherd, bread of bread.
The York Minister Choir with the hymn How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. It's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio is sacred music for the world. It's our 24/7 sacred music station. It's available absolutely free at LutheranPublicRadio.org. You can listen wherever you are, whenever you listen. You'll always hear the sacred music of the church following the course of the church year. You can also listen however you listen. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the world. Pastor Mark Buto is our guest, pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuQuoin, Illinois, author of an article in the recent Higher Things magazine titled Dying and Rising from Above. Mark, is this the kind of thing that you would talk about, say, at someone's death, at someone's funeral?
Sure, absolutely. The death is an opportunity to remind people, well, first of all, why we die is because we live in a fallen and sinful world and because we're born sinners. But it's more than that, an opportunity to talk about the victory of Christ over death. And this is what's, you know, it's really neglected a lot of times at funerals. The purpose of the funeral isn't sort of some platitudes about, well, they're in a better place or whatever. The purpose of the funeral is like, this stinks. We don't like this. This is death. This is the enemy. And here's the good news. The proclamation is that this enemy has been defeated. This enemy has been taken down. This enemy cannot keep our brother or sister in the ground forever. Our Lord will return and call them forth, give them everlasting life. That's why we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And baptism is the promise of this from the moment that the water and the word are put upon us. That's why at funerals, we use the baptismal, I call it the baptismal pall or the funeral pall. The white cloth that's placed over the casket says, hey, this is one who was baptized. And therefore, the last thing we're going to see is not this coffin being lowered into the ground, but them being raised from the dead on the day that our Lord comes back. And so, you know, in a certain sense, what God gives us in our baptism, what Christ gives us by his death and resurrection in our baptism, enables us to have a sort of scorn or even despise death. It's just this great enemy. We say, one little word can fell him, you know, just like the devil in Mighty Fortress. One little word can take care of death. He's the last enemy. He's thrown in a lake of fire, you know, when all things are made new. And so as Christians, we despise it. And we treat it as a death as something over which Christ has victory and triumph. Not immediately that comes, but he's already done it. And so therefore, it's going to be ours too.
There are Christians who say, you know, the funeral is to remember the good things about this person's life, to go kind of do a review of this person's life. We do kind of a whitewash on it so that we don't end up saying anything embarrassing about them. Sometimes we do such a whitewash on it that we don't say anything about them that anyone really believes anymore. But it's a time to celebrate life, show the videos with all the pictures and the with some upbeat music because people might have a tendency to be sad when someone dies. Why is that the wrong approach?
That's simply because their life is not going to rescue them from death. They were such a great person. Why don't they avoid death? I mean, if they were so good at everything or doing this or that, why don't they, you know, not get sick or not have an accident or whatever? The fact of the matter is you're staring at a casket with a body of a person that could not beat death. And therefore, it can't be about them because they have no victory over that death apart from Christ. And so the funeral sermon, the funeral service, it's got to be about Jesus because he's the one that we can look at that and say, okay, he's in a casket now, but he'll rise again. That's all taken care of by our Lord because he was dead and he rose again the third day.
Now, when someone is grieving, does this mean that we can point either grieving the death of someone else or grieving their own imminent death, as people do when they know they're going to die? Is this the time to talk about baptism?
Absolutely. Say, listen, remember your baptism. This is what's going to give you, you know, hope and comfort and strength. And again, because we're talking about the fact that in baptism, God has given to us, Christ has given to us his own death and resurrection as a promise and guarantee that we're going, that our sins are forgiven, that therefore death cannot be permanent for us, and that we're going to rise from the dead as well. You know, it's remarkable if you read the Gospels and see how Jesus deals with it. you know, this this guy, the synagogue ruler, whose daughter died, who was, you know, 12 years old or whatever, and Jesus just kind of strolls in and says, "What are you people doing here crying? Stop crying. She's not dead. She's sleeping." And they all laughed at him. And we would laugh at him, too, and say, "What are you, crazy, Jesus? She's dead. We all know what dead people look like." And Jesus, you know, or this, you got this funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain. You got, and it's a widow burying her only son. And, you know, so she got nobody left in the world. And there are these people carrying this kid out. He just kind of strolls up the coffin and says, "Hey, don't cry." And he's kind of like, "Wait a second, Jesus." And then so he raises the son to life, or raises the daughter to life. And it's like Jesus just doesn't, he despises death. He just scorns. He's like, "Yeah, okay, they died. I'll raise them from the dead." And while that doesn't happen, you know, immediately for us, as it does in some of the Bible stories, it will happen on the last day. And so we sort of march into death the same way that Jesus does. You know, that it's no big deal.
You say that that this is a death and resurrection from above. What's the from above part about?
Well, that's in reference to the baptism in which Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Unless you're born from above by water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God." So it's a recognition that, you know, sin comes, as it were, from below. That's us. We've done that. We've accomplished that. We've turned away from God's word. We've despised his word. We've rejected it and brought sin and death upon ourselves. But from above, Jesus comes to us, is born in the flesh, carries our sins, dies, rises, and then from above by water and the Spirit and the word that's there in the waters of baptism gives us a new birth and the inoculation against death. The cool thing about baptism is there's just so many ways that the scriptures talk about it as being clothed with Christ, as being buried with Christ and raised with Christ. So, you know, just even talking about baptism being an inoculation against death kind of barely scratches the surface. Luther always says in the Large Catechism, you know, with baptism, you got so much for a Christian to study and learn their whole life just to appreciate what a treasure it is. And that's really true. And you know, that just barely touches the benefits and blessings that baptism gives them.
Some of our listeners really are not on board with the whole baptism thing. I mean, we hear from them all the time. People who say, "Look, I love hearing about the gospel. I love hearing about the sufficient work of Christ, but you haven't sold me on baptism." If a Christian doesn't buy what Scripture says there about baptism, that it is burial with Christ, that it is resurrection with Christ, that it is a real connection to his death and resurrection for us, are they robbing themselves of this kind of comfort in the face of death?
I would say so, because it's something that's external, it's outside of us, it's happened, it's a fact that we can cling to when we really got nothing else. Again, from the Large Catechism, Luther said, "Listen, some days all you can say is, at least I'm baptized. And if I'm baptized, I got the promise I'm going to rise from the dead." The difficulty is, I'm not sure, you know, people have a hard time making the connection, but it's continually given throughout not just the New Testament in reference to baptism, but the way that the Spirit always shows up wherever there's waters in the Word. You know, from the very beginning, right, God made the heavens and the earth, and there's the Spirit sort of, you know, hovering over the waters. And God works through this promise, and Christ is present in his word and promise in baptism, that he's doing something. And I'm not sure why it's difficult for folks to wrap their minds around, other than, you know, it's not something that makes a lot of sense, or that you can sort of see with your eyes, that you know, just looks like some water. But where the water and the word are, that's Jesus doing something. The best way to look at it is, you know, when Jesus' side was pierced on Calvary, water and blood flowed out. And it's, you know, if you want to think about it, that water flows kind of straight into the font and there washes us. And so it's kind of like being at the cross, as it were, in which the dying Jesus, you know, he died for you because that water got on you. Now, again, we're separated, you know, 2,000 years or whatever, but the water is there by his word, along with his word and the Spirit at the font and church. And that's how he operates. So whenever we think of baptism, we always need to think of it with respect to Jesus. It's not just sort of water in the church. It's water from his side that he has made available to us in the church so that we can have its benefits and blessings, namely the forgiveness of sins and the inoculation against death and being clothed with his righteousness and having everlasting life.
With only about 20 seconds here, Mark, what can you tell us, tell our listeners about Higher Things Magazine? About 20 seconds.
Well, let's see. We got a great conference article. It, conference articles just came out, and we're excited about that. So check out the new edition at higherthings.org. We feature articles every Tuesday from the magazine. And if you're going to a conference this summer, you'll see a copy there.
Folks, you can find out more about Higher Things Magazine at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can subscribe to Higher Things Magazine. Call them toll-free, 1-888-448-2359. Mark, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on the task of an evangelist. We'll be talking with Pastor Clement Preuss about speaking the law. It's necessary to do. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. When St. Paul tells us that baptism does these things, St. Paul is telling us what baptism is, what God does through baptism. And God says that he crucifies you with Christ. It doesn't feel like a crucifixion because Jesus takes all the pain. He says he buries you with Christ. It doesn't feel like you've died and were buried because Jesus took all the death. And he raises you again. And that resurrection is coming for you. Even after your body is dead, Jesus will come and he will raise you, already yours in baptism. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington; Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.